I clap my hands too. There are people in line getting a gas mask, worried where they're going to live and what they're going to face tomorrow. And it affects the whole world, as you quickly see. The whole world is fragile. It's fragile, very fragile. And the only thing stable is living for God. That's the only thing stable there is.
Glory.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank the name of the Lord. I want to talk to you tonight. Talk to you. You know what preaching is? It's kind of like it's trying to get through to you. That's what it is, trying to get through all the shells, all the thoughts, all the preconceived ideas, all the traditions, and all these things to try to get through to you so that truth can be instilled in your heart. And that's why Jesus said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." Let's get through all the facade and all this kind of stuff. So I want to try to get through all of that tonight, just talking to you about a very simple subject, but very needful as well. Praise the Lord. Isn't that property looking good over there? You see how? Praise the Lord. That looks wonderful. Thank the Lord. I don't know what the Lord's plans are, but he put it in our hands, and he never puts anything in your hand that you're not going to use. He wouldn't put it in your hands if you wasn't going to use it. So we're going to wait and see what the Lord does. If you will stand with me, I want to read three different settings of scriptures for you tonight, and just sit on the pew basically and talk to you from your level and my level as well, and not from necessarily a pulpit level. Judges 14:2, and he came up and told his father and his mother, speaking of the mighty man Samson, the anointed man Samson, the man that was called from his mother's womb to take a Nazarite vow unto God, and she did as well, and told his father and his mother, and he said, "I have seen a woman of Timnath, the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife." He's at this stage in his life. He's looking for a wife, but he's looking in all those wrong places. Then his father and his mother saith unto him, "Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistine? Are you going to go outside of the Abrahamic covenant, those that are in covenant with God, and get one of these heathens of the world? Can't you find some little cute girl that you like in the church?" And Samson said unto his father, "Get her." It's like he ignored what they said. "Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well." Well, 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 well. Get her for me. Now, pleasing me, number one. Pleasing me. Number two, I want to talk about in Romans chapter 15. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Not for your good, but for his good to edification. Build up relationships. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. So we have a situation where you please me. Then he says, please others. Even Christ didn't come. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, did not come to this earth to live to please himself, but to please others. So you that are strong, why don't you help others? It's pretty pleasing when you're pretty weak for somebody to say, "Can I help you?" And then in Ecclesiastes, the mighty man Solomon, who didn't take his own advice, he said, "And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands who please. But whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her." So he said, now number one is pleasing me. Number two was pleasing others or your neighbor. And number three, he says, even though this is a very tempting situation, so to speak, and basically the woman has the man in a net and in a snare. He said, but I want you to know this, whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her. No matter how strong that desire is, no matter how powerful that force may be, if you will learn to please God, then you'll escape the snares of this life or the lust of the flesh, the things of the flesh. So there's pleasing me, there's pleasing others, and there's pleasing God. I want to talk about easy to please tonight. Easy to please. I'll ask you this, but don't poke your neighbor. Are you easy to please? You know, are you easy to please? Don't poke. Because I don't want you to raise your hand, because as soon as you raise your hand, somebody's going to go, you're lying in the church. Yeah. God bless you. You may be seated. Easy to please. Easy to please. You ever said nothing pleases you? Nothing. That word nothing and all. David said in my haste, I said all men are liars. That wasn't so. It's too hasty. And to say nothing pleases you is not true either. In the animal kingdom, when you get into things that have more brains, you might say, the animal kingdom, there is, the higher you go up in the animal kingdom, man being the top of the pyramid, the pleasure center of a man is the most vast. It's the largest thing. He's got more things that he seeks to please him than any other animal. I got a dog. I've never had a dog like this in all my life. That dog wants to please me so bad. He just, if I spent the time to teach that dog, there's no telling what that dog would do. But he just wants to please me. And when I have to get on him, like he does something, doesn't please, I said, Fortune, get back in your pen. He'll go, I didn't please him. And I'm trying to work on electrical something, and I'm like this, and he'll come roll over in my lap. He's like 60 pounds. He'll come roll over in my lap and look up at me like, am I pleasing you? And I can throw a stick. It pleases him, and it pleases me. He loves the water. He loves to fetch. And you can throw that. Martin Melanie's got a little dog. That little dog will chase that ball all day long. I mean, till it can't go anymore. And it doesn't take much. That dog's easy to please. Because it don't have all these things to, it's just throw the ball and I'm happy. You know, just easy to please. But things, you know, get more complicated as you go up this hierarchy where we have more things that we can enjoy and more things that we get pleasure out of. And so what happens is when things don't please you, you start rejecting people and things that don't please you. You start rejecting those things because I want pleasure. We are pleasure fools, if you will. I'm not against it. Don't get me wrong. I bought a bass boat because it gives me pleasure to fish. Some people buy sewing machines. I mean, they take sewing trips. Some people go to Branson because they're seeking pleasure. Nothing wrong with that. But when you seek pleasure for the flesh, you see, for the works of the flesh, I should say, then you get outside of what pleases God. Because he did come that we might have life and have it more abundantly, and we should have a pleasurable life. He wants that for all of us. But when we get outside of that and get into the pleasures of life in more of a carnal way, then we get outside of what pleases God. And so when you remember the parable of the sower, the one thing that choked out the word of God was what? The pleasures of this life. You got so wrapped up in pleasing yourself that you forgot to please the one who created you. And you forgot to take time to thank him that you even have the money or the health to go on the trip. And so we have to be careful that we don't get caught up in pleasure. And I would say that some people could be here tonight. They're not here. Can I tell you, if you could be here and you're not here, that does not please God. But I'm going to teach you, he's easy to please. Contrary to what people think about God being so hard to please and it's such a straight way, and it's, I'm going to show you it's not so hard. But when we seek to please the works of the flesh, what happens is it only satisfies for a little while. It's a moment. And so that people that become alcoholics didn't wake up one morning and say, hey, I think I'm going to be an alcoholic. I think I won't be a drug addict today. I'm going to start being. No, they were seeking some kind of pleasure in the life. And when that pleasure was met, then it wasn't satisfying after a little while. And they needed a little more of that to reach the same level they once were. And before long, they've escalated where now I got to have it to even sustain my life, they feel. And guess what? It took the pleasure away of what they really were trying to accomplish. And that's what the world calls it. He even called it the deceivableness of riches, which choked the word also. It looks like if I had money, then I'd have happiness. No, that's not it at all. You can talk to people that won the lotto and you'll find out many of them took their own lives and many of them were back broke and been bankrupt and all this kind of thing. That's not it. Not it at all. So while pleasure can come from many different sources in a man and woman's life, I want to talk about these three categories real quick. And one was about Samson. And when a person seeks to please me, to please themselves, this is what we call a self-centered person. Everything revolves around making me happy. And if you don't do what I like, it makes me upset. And before long, if it don't please you, you reject what doesn't please you because it's your little world that everybody's got to go around and tiptoe. That's not of God. Because I'll show you the second part. That's self-centered. Because everything's got to revolve around you and it doesn't make you happy, then you start rejecting that. And when people try to please you and you reject them, uh-oh. Then the pain and the emotions comes along that goes along with rejection. Anybody ever been rejected? Samson desired to please himself rather than to please his parents or to please his God. He told his parents, get her for me, knowing they would not be for that. They raised him under a vow unto God. And as I said, even his mother took a vow not to drink strong drink, not touching, the same basic vow. And so she raised the boy right. But yet he goes to them because he needed their approval. Go get me. I saw a woman of Timnath and I want her to wife. And they begged him saying, look, this is a recipe for disaster. Look, can't you take a little more time? Look around at your brother and at the people in the church and visit some other places, but don't go to the world for your answers. But he was being pleased by the wrong thing. And so Samson's mother and father were not well pleased with his choice because he wanted to go outside the covenant and choose an uncircumcised spouse, meaning outside the covenant that God had with Abraham. And so Samson's response to their plea of looking elsewhere was, get her for me. He is already consumed with this woman. Get her for me. And his reason was, she pleaseth me well. He was not worried about fulfilling his vow to God. He was not worried about what his parents thought. He was only worried about his own pleasure. And anytime you get wrapped up in your own pleasure, it is a recipe for disaster. The end of Samson's story, a man that sought pleasure now has the same magnitude of pain. Because what brought him pleasure was not of God. And now he's got poked out eyes and now he's doing everything still going around in his little world, right? Till finally he looks up and he says, Lord, remember me. And he remembered, it's not about me. You called me to be a judge over your people. And if you will remember me this one time, then I will give you the glory. And we know the story. He pushed the pillars down and more Philistines were slain in that event than ever before. Why? Because he knew he was going to die with it. But it now was not about him. It was about the calling of God that was upon his life. The Bible says that we should prefer our brother before ourselves. You ever heard that scripture? I hope that we obey that scripture. We should seek to please others before we seek to please ourselves. Even Jesus put it on this wise, does not a servant seek to please his master rather than the master seeking to please the servant? Are we not called to be the servants of men and the servants of God? Hallelujah. So we should not seek always to please ourselves, but to please others. Hallelujah. And sometimes I pray y'all don't see me. I'm not trying to say some things in a boisterous way, but the only way I know is to say it, just to tell you. And so is when I was in Dallas, and this, I'm sure you do this too, but just to give you an example, I'm in Dallas there, and I forgot to bring any cash with me. I just had a credit card, and I had 20 bucks in my billfold and about 5 1s, 3 1s or whatever it was, and I was sitting there eating breakfast early that morning, and there was a little Hispanic lady, and I noticed her the day before how hard she was working. I'm telling you, it made me want to cry. I sat there and I watched people going in and people going out, and she's by herself. She's bagging the trash up, and they're saying, hey, it's out of this. Okay, I'll get that. And she would go get it, and hey, we're out of this. Okay, I'll go get that. She's busting the table. I'm telling you, I don't know how she did it. Three people couldn't have done what she was doing. And my heart just melted, and I'm like, I don't have but that 20. But I waited till it was my private time and no one see me. She walked to that back door. I popped that door up and said, ma'am, I just want to tell you, you are a hard worker and I appreciate that. And she's gracias, gracias, you know. But I'm not seeking to please me. I'm seeking to please her. That's what godly people should do. We don't seek to please. Where is this stuff? When's my order coming in? No, that's not showing godliness at all. And so we should remember other people and their dilemma and what they're... $20 probably meant a lot to her. And to me, it wasn't anything really. But the pleasure, you see, we both got pleasure. I had a pleasure in giving it to her. She had a pleasure. That's the way it's supposed to be. Can I still sit with you tonight? You're not going to kick me out, I hope. The problem with trying to please ungodly